Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels song.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
Good morning. I hope you are as excited as I am about the return of the Lord to end the wickedness and vileness that has permeated this earth caused by corrupt, godless men and women like the current administration and the sickly, woke Democratic regime here in America, and all the atheistic, globalist regimes that have taken the helm of many nations and are steering the course of this world into a violent conflict with God Almighty. The Christian's hope is in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to establish his earthly kingdom, while our unyielding faith is in the work of Jesus on the cross and his bodily resurrection from the grave when he first came to the earth to bring salvation to whomsoever believes. So, a quick overview of the Olivet Discourse. It is a sermon that Jesus preached to his disciples upon the Mount of Olives at the end of his earthly ministry. This discourse was preached to put all of Jesus' disciples for the last 2,000 years during the dispensation of grace on notice that he is coming back and that they need to be ready and faithful upon his return. he admonishes that believers need to be prepared and alert for his return through fervent prayer and obedience. He cautions that some believers will be careless in their walk with him. There are 7 parables in this discourse by Jesus, which I identify and explain. Different aspects of this discourse address specific events, targeting 3 specific groups. Hence, I subtitled this sermon, The Jew, the Gentile, and the Church of God. But only believers can discern these events and parables and witness to the world the second advent of Christ. The unconverted Jews and the unregenerate Gentiles have no clue what will soon befall them. And so, take your Bibles. I wanted to deal with some last-minute points here, fine points on that marriage supper of the Lamb, which that's why it talks about the virgins, the bridegroom, and everything about a wedding that's taking place. The bride, remember, in the New Testament, in Paul's epistles, Paul talks about the church being the bride. In the book of Revelation, what is the bride? In the book of Revelation, the bride is the city, the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem. Christ is the bridegroom. Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. Paul talks about the church being the bride, and the bride that will be the church of the firstborn. We hear, see that word, and we've talked about it in the past, but the bride will be the bride. The church will be in the New Jerusalem. They will make up the New Jerusalem. The saints will be in that New Jerusalem. So they're interrelated, but Paul deals with it as the church, as the institution in this age of grace that you and I are living in now, and in the world, in the tribulation period, and in the world to come, it is the city. The city from above, the New Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. Not the earthly Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. It's a city made up. And you see that, the beauty of that city. Turn your Bibles. Let's look at that beauty of that city. How beautiful it is. Turn your Bibles to the end of Revelation, Revelation 21. Okay, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, when does this take place? In eternity, when eternity starts. This is after the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on this earth. Okay? Eternity starts right here, and there's going to be this old earth that you're standing on right now and sitting on right now is going to disappear. It's just going to disappear. It's going to disappear at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And you're going to have a new earth and a new created heaven. Now, the third heaven where the Heavenly Father is at and where Jesus is sitting at the right hand, that's an eternal heaven. That's always existed. It's always existed where the Father was. That's where the Heavenly Father was before he created this earth, and before he created man, and before he created the animals. So there's an eternal heaven, and there's a created heaven. Okay? You go to the creation account at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, and we learn that there are the created heaven was divided in two. So you have the atmosphere that you and I breathe. That's one heaven where the clouds are. The air that we breathe. All right, I always told my students when I was a teacher, Aaron, I don't know if you remember this, but that we live at the bottom of the sea of air, 50 miles high approximately. The sea of air, and we're at the bottom of it. Okay, as you go up higher, if you climb Mount Everest, the air pressure is less, and the
the amount of oxygen is less. Okay? None of us in this room would last 2 seconds on the top of Mount Everest. We'd need an oxygen tank. Okay? The reason a plane can fly at 33,000 feet is because it's pressurized and they have oxygen at atmospheric pressure, normal atmospheric pressure, like we have on the Earth. But if that is compromised, if the cabin blows open, what drops down from over your head in the seats there? You get an oxygen mask, because you would all pass out in a short period of time, because the oxygen is less, much less. On Mount Everest, a little side note, you know, on Mount Everest, there are, I forget the number, but I think it's over 100, maybe close to 200 dead bodies scattered all over Mount Everest. Some are very visible to the hikers that are continuing going up and down but they don't have enough energy, they can't carry enough oxygen to bring those bodies back down. And they're preserved. Because it's so cold, they're preserved. They're in their clothes, their clothes are there, part of their body may be sticking out of a snowdrift. Sometimes they find missing hikers that have been missing for a period of time, and all of a sudden their body becomes exposed because the snow or whatever shifted, and their bodies, but they have no energy. They have just enough energy to get to the top and get back down. They can't carry a body on their back to bring them down. So the Mount Everest is scattered with bodies on it. It's almost like a recreational thing. Now they have a traffic jam going to the top of Mount Everest. There's so many expedition groups that bring them up there that now they're having problems getting to the top because there's a traffic jam going to the top of Mount Everest. I'm telling you, this is the truth. That's the truth. So anyways, so you're going to be on a new earth. This is when you're going to be, you'll be, everybody on this new earth will be eternal. They'll have a glorified body. Okay? That means you'll live forever. Live forever. And so for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. So the new earth is not going to have any sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, here it is, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Remember, John the Revelator, John the Apostle John, writes the book of Revelation, and he's looking at the future. Paul was looking at the future of just the church age, and so he was seeing the bride as the church. Those out of the church, those are ready, and the saints and believers, all believers will be in eternity, will make up this holy city. They will be in the holy city. Verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Amen. For eternity, you're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ for eternity. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. No more death, no more cancer, no more heart disease, no more diabetes. Okay, amen. No more sickness, no more sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Look at verse 9. Jump to verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. And I talked with me, saying, Come hither. I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Okay? So does that make sense now? The bride is this new Jerusalem in this part of the scriptures. And he carried me away in the eternal age. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now, I pointed out to you in other passages, there's a passage in Galatians that says, the mother of us all is the new Jerusalem, the Jerusalem from above. And so, having the verse 11, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a great wall, high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the name written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east gate, east three gates, on the north three gates, on the south three gates, and on the west three gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of 12 apostles of the Lamb. The name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gate thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length of it as large as the breadth of it. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs, the length and breadth. The height of it are equal, okay? So, and he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And so, I don't have it written here in my Bible, but I believe it's 1,200 miles. 1,200-mile square city. 1,200-mile square city. 1,200 miles, think of the continent of the United States. 1,200 miles from New York City to Colorado, about. 1,200 miles from the Canadian border to Austin, Texas. 1,200 miles. So think of that. And 1,200 miles high with 12 foundations. Massive, massive city. Now let's look at the beauty of this city. Verse 18, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. The glass, the gold is so pure, it looks like glass. And the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And the first foundation was jasper. And the second, sapphire. The third, chalcedon. The fourth, emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. Now you go home and take out a dictionary and look these up and study what these stones look like in what we understand them to be. And some of these names are older names for newer stones, or they may fall under a different name that we know them as today. Now you know a sapphire, emerald, but a chalcedon, the sardonyx, sardius, the seventh crystal light, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth Christophorus, the 11th a Jacinth, the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Now, where does pearls grow? Oysters, right? Oysters. They grow in oysters. Grow little round pearls. These are going to be gates that are made of pearl. Gates of pearl. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold as it were transparent glass. And verse 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. So there won't be any temple. There will be a temple in the thousand-year reign of Christ here on this earth, but not in eternity. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So there is no moon, there is no sun, there is no stars in the sky. Because there's never a nighttime. The glory of the Lord will be the light of this new earth. You won't have to sleep. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? In eternity, you won't have to sleep. No sleep. So what are you going to do all day? Praise the name of the Lord. That's right. You're not going to be watching Little House on the Prairie or something, you know. No TV. No YouTube station channel. Verse 24, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day. Means there's no enemies, no night, no enemies. Nobody sneaking in, no thief, no robber, no Satan, no demon. For there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Make sure your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Make sure your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Make sure you're saved and know the Lord. And make sure your name's not blotted out of the Book of Life for the millennial reign. And he showed me a pure river, verse 1 in chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now, this picture here is going to be very similar to the earthly Jerusalem when Jesus sits on the throne in the kingdom on this earth. And as we're going through the book of Ezekiel in Bible study, we'll see that at the latter part of the book of Ezekiel, we'll see this parallel here. But this is in eternity. But there will be a very similar picture of this in the kingdom age. And the Dead Sea. Why is the Dead Sea called the Dead Sea? What's unique about the Dead Sea? It doesn't flow. It basically just water flows into it. Nothing flows out of it. So it's like the Salt Lake, the Great Salt Lake in Utah. Just water runs off the mountains out into the plains and forms the Salt Lake out there. They're very similar. Though the Dead Sea, like the Salt Lake Sea, nothing grows in it because they're so salty. Salt. The Dead Sea is even saltier than the Great Salt Lake in Utah. The Salt Lake in Utah is drying up, if you haven't heard. But the Dead Sea, the Bible says it will be healed. In the kingdom age, it's going to be healed, and it's going to have all kinds of life, sea life, in the Dead Sea, in the kingdom age, because of a river that flows down from Jerusalem. And remember when Jesus puts his feet on the Mount of Olives, what does the Mount of Olives do? It splits open, it splits, it cleaves in half. And that will cause a valley, a channel for that water to flow down to the Dead Sea. And that the Dead Sea will be, it's called the Great Sea in your Bible. In your King James Bible, it's called the Great Sea. Hope I'm not confusing that with the Mediterranean. I'm pretty sure the Great Sea is referring to the Dead Sea. They have a name for the Mediterranean Sea. All right. Verse 2. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. And so that's going to be a glorious time. So, and helps you understand who the bride is in Revelation versus who is the bride in this dispensation. When the rapture takes place, now, if it took place right now, God would take us up to the clouds, and all your possessions, even your marriage rings and wedding rings and your glasses and your undergarments are all going to stay right here. You're going up in a glorified body. Hallelujah. And it will be like, it'll be the twinkling of light, instantaneous. And everything materialistic would stay right here. We take nothing with us.
You have been listening to Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel, formerly the Cambria Hotel, 13,500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. That's gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.